1 Kings 4, verse 29. I shall read this portion and then one verse from the New Testament. 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcal, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of birds, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us speak to God again in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the way that you present thy Son to us. How brief are the words giving us his biography, but our Father, how full is the revelation concerning him when we take into consideration the entirety of the Word of God. We are thankful for all things that thou hast told us in this life about thy Son, and you have assured us that throughout eternity we shall continue to hear of the exceeding riches of your grace and kindness toward us. In Christ Jesus, we thank you for the greatness of this man, and we desire to learn somewhat of that greatness this morning. By thy Spirit, prepare the hearts of those who are here, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And Father, you have promised that if we confess our sin, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and therefore we confess them. Bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It has been over 20 years ago, but I can still remember a conversation that I had with my uncle about the Savior. And evidently, I was exhausting the Savior to such a degree that he was unable to bear it, and I can almost remember his exact words. He said, "Milton, Jesus was a man." And I replied, "Yes, he was." Now, I understood what he meant by that. From what I was telling him, he was beginning to feel like those of whom I told you last week in John 10. The Jews were angry with Christ and wanted to destroy him. And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because you, being a man, makest thyself God." And that is what I was doing. I was telling my uncle of the greatness of the Savior, and he began to suspect that I was confessing Jesus is more than man. And I was, because the great mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh. But when he said, "Milton, Jesus was a man," and I said, "He certainly was," I was not telling him that Jesus was a mere man. but I was confessing and acknowledging the truthfulness of the statement that he made, that indeed Jesus was a man. Just as the woman said to the Savior, I have no husband. He said, that's right. You have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You've told the truth. So when I agreed with my uncle that Jesus was a man, there was more to it than that simple agreement, and I understood that pursuing the subject any further was futile. So do you realize that the scriptures in so many places speak of the humanity of Christ? If you will accept Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That's where it began. And if you want to go back further, it says in Revelation that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And being slain, I rejoice in the scripture that was read to us, he had to become man in order that he might die. But even historically, when he became man, it says he was slain from the foundation of the world. So there are some things that God conceives of in the history of men, and they are spoken of as before the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world, and then all of these things that we read about, historically, they come to pass. And this fact that Christ was going to be slain, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. It tells us a place, it tells us a beginning, and it tells us the purpose of his coming in Hebrews 2. So remember that Jesus was a man. I'm going to tell you some scriptures emphasizing the fact that Jesus was a man. And when I say that, I'm not excluding that he was divine, but I want you to know that the Bible again and again speaks of Jesus as a man, not at all denying his deity, but simply speaks of him as a man. The Lord Jesus himself said it. In John 8, the Savior said, a man, I am a man that hath told you the truth. He said, Jesus called himself a man. Yes. And the Apostle Paul says that God is going to judge the world by the man whom he hath ordained. And it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I could go on and on. The author of Hebrews tells about Jesus becoming man. So you say, well, he was actually a man. Indeed he was. But here is what we fail to understand about the humanity of Christ. That if our Savior, endowed as he was by the Father, had only been a man, that many of the things that we attribute to his deity would in reality have been found in his humanity. When people saw him, they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And when the officers went to arrest him and came back empty-handed, they said, never man spake like that man. Do you understand? They said, never man spake like that man. He was incomparable. And our Savior usually says this concerning himself. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You say, yes, those are the words of the Savior. Do you realize this? And that is why I read 1 Kings chapter 4, first of all. Solomon was incomparable in his wisdom. And the Lord Jesus calmly says this. He says, a greater than Solomon is here. Can you comprehend that? You are not aware of the greatness of Solomon until you read the prayer that he prayed to his God, and God told him he would give him what he wanted. And he could have asked for long life and for riches and for the death of his enemies, but he said, I have a responsibility to the nation of Israel. He said, I'm just a little child. He said, I do not know how to go out nor come in. He said, my God, give me a wise and understanding heart. Give me discernment to know good and evil, that I may judge this by so great people. And it said the prayer pleased the Lord. And God said to him, I am giving you wisdom more than any man who ever lived before you. And I am giving you wisdom more than any man who shall come after you. You say, well, there is the contradiction. No, because it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he hath put all things under his feet. It says, however, when it says he has put all things under his feet, it is evident that he is accepted. You say, oh, I see. Some things that are blank statements, it is evident that there is one exclusion. And in this regard, the Father who subjected all things to Christ is not going to be subjected to Christ. And this Solomon, who had incomparable wisdom, it is evident that there is one who is wiser and greater than he. And this is one of the few times that the Lord Jesus makes a statement that is so startling, that tells of his greatness. Usually, he conceals his greatness. But here, if you want to understand the greatness of our Savior, you must read of the greatness of King Solomon. Remember, God said, nobody before has had as much wisdom, and Adam had greatness of wisdom, and it said, nobody after you. So think of all the wise men that humanists and those that are children of this world will lift before our eyes, and how great they are. The brilliance of the mind of man, the mind of fallen, sinful man, but the brilliance of it. And it says Solomon was wiser than all before him or after him, until we come to the Lord Jesus, and the Savior says, a greater than Solomon is here. Then how incomparable is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, think of what the Bible says concerning the wisdom of Solomon. It said, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of the children of Israel and all the wisdom of Egypt. For Solomon was wiser than all men, than even the Ezrahites, than Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the nations round about. It says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of birds, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And it says, and all peoples came to hear of the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. You say, that is remarkable. God speaks of his wisdom and understanding and his largeness of heart. Therefore, his wisdom was not confined to one area. I want you to consider that the wisdom of Solomon included the arts. It says, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So there was one Jubal who knew something about music and songs, and it says that Solomon also was one who wrote songs. He wrote proverbs. You say, well, then it's in the area of the arts that he excelled. No. He also was a biologist. It said he spake of trees. And then he was also a zoologist. an ornithologist. All of these areas, God mentions them all. And it says he excelled in all of these areas. And it said all peoples from all the earth, from all the kings came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, who had heard of his wisdom. And there was one woman, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south. She said, I don't believe it. So she came with great retinue to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And it says that finally, when she had an audience with him, she communed with Solomon of all that was in her heart. And it says that Solomon answered every question that she could put to him. And that her spirit left her. She was overpowered by the wisdom of this man. She said, when I heard it, I did not believe it. She said, but now that I've seen it and I've heard it, she said, the half has not been told. Think of this. Here is a man in his humanity, and there is a queen that is great like Solomon. And she says, he's inferior to me. He could not possess all the wisdom that I've heard. And so she goes and speaks to him and confronts him and proves him with hard questions. And he answers everything that she can ask him. You say, how remarkable. There is one man that is greater. Some of you think you have problems that are unsolvable. You think you have questions that are unanswerable. But you're wrong. There is one man who has all the answers. And you say, I don't believe it. Why? Neither did the Queen of Sheba. And the Lord Jesus is going to condemn you for not believing this report. The Savior said, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment and shall condemn this generation because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She had heard the report and she came and put him to the test. And having put him to the test, she said, the half has not been told. And I have told you that there is one who can meet every problem that exists in your life, that can answer every question that is in your heart. And you can commune with the Savior, and he will give you all the answers, because a greater than Solomon is here. That is what God has done. But first of all, and I want to exalt the Savior, this great mystery of godliness, because while being divine at the same time, the man Christ Jesus, and God wants us to dwell upon his humanity as well as his deity, because he wants you to know what you could have been and I could have been had sin not entered and had we applied ourselves the way the Savior did. Do you realize that the Savior did apply himself as a man? Did you think that he accomplished everything supernaturally? This is what it says in Luke 2:52. And Jesus was cutting his way forward. When it says, Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature, he was cutting his way forward in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Think of this now. He advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So in all of these areas, he advanced in wisdom, that is mentally, stature, that is physically, and in favor with God, that is spiritually, and man, that is socially. And the Lord Jesus cut his way through life in all of these areas. And when the Father looked down upon him from heaven, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And there was no relationship that existed in his life that was inferior, that was imperfect. Every relationship was correct. Men would condemn him, would criticize him, would reject him. But I want you to understand that God has sent one perfect man on earth. And if you will not come from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Christ, then an earthly woman will condemn you because she had wisdom enough to come to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she will condemn you and say, you would not come to hear the wisdom of Jesus. And the Savior himself also said this. He said, many prophets and righteous men and kings have desired to hear and see the things that you hear and see, and they saw them not. Again, the Lord Jesus is telling you, what you are hearing and what you are seeing is greater than the Queen of Sheba saw, and other queens and kings and prophets and prominent men of the world. They desire to hear and see these things, but they saw them not. And here we are in our generation, and we have the fullness of the revelation of the Son of God, and we will not lift our finger to find out whether it's true. We will condemn it and say this Bible is full of contradictions and Jesus is an ordinary man. And I venture to say that no one has read of that greatness with an open heart. Because if they read of that Savior with an open heart, it is impossible for them not to embrace Him as Savior. It says, many other miracles truly did Jesus which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And what God has done is to write down all the credentials of Christ. And He says, now read them. And if you read them, you will believe them. And believing, you will become a child of God. So I tell you that one greater than Solomon in every area has come to earth. He was with the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and go back to the Father. That is plain enough. And the Lord Jesus said, and while I am down here, I want you to know that a greater than Solomon is in your midst. Behold, a greater than Solomon. And whenever there is anyone with whom to compare him, the Lord Jesus says, I am greater. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham? Are you greater than Jacob who gave us this wealth? And the Lord Jesus said, indeed I am. He does not like to speak of these things. He does not like to display His greatness, but at times it is necessary. And on occasions when they say, have you seen Abraham? The Lord Jesus said, why, Abraham has seen me. He said, before Abraham was, I am. The Lord Jesus is telling His greatness on occasion, but He does not tell it all, because great is the mystery of godliness. Well, what does this mean? And I want you to understand it. Think of every exploit, every accomplishment of brilliant men, of those who have genius. And then the Lord Jesus, if He were placed beside them, would eclipse them all. The disciples were constantly forgetting. It said, they remembered not the loaves. They heard things, but they forgot things. The Lord Jesus never forgot anything He ever heard. He never forgot a word that He ever read. You never read in the New Testament about Jesus remembering anything. Why? Because you remember something that has slipped your mind. The Lord Jesus never forgot anything. Mozart, on occasion, was taken into this cathedral to hear, as I recall it, the secret music of Palestrina. And upon judgment of death, no one could hear this music, or write this music, or know anything about it. It was mysterious. And Mozart went in and heard it sung, performed one time. And after he came out, he sat down and wrote it out. And the Pope looked at it, and he was amazed. And then, instead of condemning him, he praised him and rewarded him. Now, that is the exploit of an ordinary man. He goes and hears something that is so complex that nobody is to know about it. And Mozart hears it one time, and he can write it down. And the same thing was done by Mendelssohn. His overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream. It was lost, and it had to be performed. And they said, how tragic that you've lost this music. It's gone forever. And a witness said that Mendelssohn sat down, and he wrote out from memory every part of the orchestra. It just came into existence out of his mind. It was written on a page. And I'm talking about man, ordinary man. And the Lord Jesus was incomparably wiser than these men. You say, but that's just in the things of salvation. You are wrong. Because a thrilling study for you would be that which has been occupying my mind this week, is to take these things literally that Solomon dwelt upon, that he enjoyed, and to look for them in the life of Christ. The Lord Jesus excelled the wisdom of Solomon. Therefore, if Solomon could speak of cedar trees, and if he could speak of hyssop, that means from the highest to the lowest. The Lord Jesus knew about comparing things. Now let me give you an example. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed, which indeed is less than all the seeds. The Savior, whatever seed he had in mind, he knew all the seeds and their sizes, and he said, this is less. He said, but here is an anomaly. Here is a mustard seed that grew up into a great tree. The Lord Jesus knew the difference between a cedar tree and hyssop. He did not confuse things like that man that said, why, I see men walking as trees. He had everything in its proper perspective. The Lord Jesus spoke about trees. He said, now from the fig tree, learn her parable. And in Luke, it says, from the fig tree and all the trees. And it speaks about beasts. And this is what is so interesting. It says, when our Savior was tempted, he was with the wild beasts and fishes. The Lord Jesus was he who told Peter. He said, now you go and cast in a hook. And the first fish that comes up, you open its mouth, and you'll find just enough money for you and for me. He spoke of birds. He says, consider the birds of the heaven. And he said, consider the lilies of the field. You say, yes, but the way that Christ spoke of them, the way that Christ spoke of them was magnificent, because Solomon and many men are able to take trees and categorize them, and flowers and birds, and put them in all their categories. The Lord Jesus was able to do that perfectly as a man. But having done all of that, the Lord Jesus said, now that you've gotten that, the next step is to understand the spiritual significance of all of these things. He said, now, from the fig tree, learn her parable. From this mustard seed, learn about that. From the man who goes and sows seed in his field, learn about that. Consider the ravens, consider the birds, consider the lilies. The Lord Jesus spoke of these lilies. He said, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You say, I understand. Then, it was not the dead technical facts that men are so enamored of, but it was the spiritual significance of it. That is what captivated the mind of Jesus Christ. Why, of course, those that have genius the way that Christ does, why, those things are inconsequential. They will cast before you things that you could never learn in your lifetime, and they, with simplicity, with ease, cast them out before you. They said, that means nothing. He said, but here is something that is interesting to me, that the fig tree is like, and the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the Savior speaks about birds also. He says, birds at times are dependent upon the Father, but there are distinctions as well. He said, some birds are like unto Satan that comes and snatches away the good seed sown in the heart. You say, yes, I see. Then the Savior speaks of birds and beasts, and the creeping things and fishes. And what is so interesting is that when he's giving a lesson to Peter in Acts 10, the Savior takes these things. It says, on this sheet that he let down from heaven were beasts, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You say, why, the very things that Solomon, yes, and Christ has done this. He has taken all of these living creatures, and he has compared them to the nations of the world. Because he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the Savior says, what I have cleansed, call not thou common. And so the Lord Jesus had taken all of these birds and beasts and creeping things, and he had compared them unto men, and then Peter understood it. As he thought on the vision, it came to him. He said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. I see that God is no respecter of persons. God taught me to call no man common or unclean. And the Savior did not say one thing about these creatures being representatives of people. But then Peter thought on it, and then he understood it. The Lord Jesus, the moment he saw something, would immediately see its category, see its relationship to another thing, would see the spiritual significance of it. It was in his mind perfectly, and he never forgot. Every time he would read one verse of Scripture, not like some of us with puny minds that can remember some things, the Savior would read it one time, and it was permanently, indelibly in his mind, and he never forgot. You say, that's impossible. Why, there are men who can listen to a conversation, as I told you of Mozart, who can listen to a composition of music, and they will relate to you word for word just what was said or what was played. You say, yes, some men have done that. And Solomon was greater than any of these men. And the Lord Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. And therefore our Savior was incomparable. And some of the things that he could tell you about, you would think he was divine. But it would simply be the mind of man that God created. And remember that the Savior was a creature as well as the Creator. You say, how is that? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 10, a body hast thou prepared me. That is why. The Savior was created as Jesus as well as being God. Now understand this and accept the words that I tell you, because I say them without fear of contradiction. When the Savior became flesh, it says he took. Therefore, if he took, it means that in his deity, he embraced humanity. It's the simple word, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You receive Christ as Savior, and you become a son of God. It says in Philippians 2, that he who existed eternally in the form of God, took the form of a servant. You understand? That's the word that God uses. The divine took the form of a servant. You say, then he ceased existing in the form of God? Absolutely not. Because if he did, he could not take the form of a servant. He eternally existed in the form of God. And when he became man, he did not cease existing in the form of God. He simply took at the same time the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. There it is again. He humbled himself. And the only thing that people could see when Jesus Christ came to earth was a man. It said, he appeared as a man. That's the way that he wanted to. Do you understand? He was existing in the form of God, and he was existing in the form of man, a servant, a lowly man. And the Lord Jesus, since he is existing in the form of both, there is a mode of existence in which he is to manifest himself to the earth, and he and the Father and the Spirit decided that he would exist in mode of representation and manifestation to man as a humble, obedient son. And men would take that away from him and make him the independent God. But the Lord Jesus was the dependent man. He said, I came not to be served. He said, I came to serve. He said, I came not to get. I came to give. I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. And therefore, if Solomon prayed for such things in his prayer, and the prayer thrilled the heart of God, then think the Savior who came and said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And he said, I am becoming man so that I can die for your sins, and I am becoming man so that I can enter into all the temptations you have and having entered into them and having overcome every temptation without sin, he said, now I am able to give assistance to all that come unto me. And so you need salvation, and it's found in Christ. And you need assistance, and it's found in Christ. And the Queen of the South had sense enough to come to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Come and hear the wisdom of our Savior. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the man, Christ Jesus. We thank you that there was no other man that ever lived that was like thy Son. You could challenge, with whom will you compare me and make me like? Whom will you make my equal? And there is no answer that man can give. And yet there is one, Father, that you have made like man, but he is incomparable. And there is one who is like yourself, who is your equal, because he made himself equal with God, because he was God manifest in the flesh. We thank you for this great adventure, thy Son coming from heaven to earth and becoming man. And we rejoice, our Father, that he has embraced manhood forever. And someday we shall look upon that Savior who died for our sins. May it be so, Father, that all who are here look into the face of a friend, one who loves them, and one whom they can say, he loved me and gave himself for me. May they embrace him as Savior, and then know him in his wisdom as man. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.